The following is a lecture entitled Prabhupada Memories, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on October 19th, 2017, in Vrindavan, India.
So nice hearing Satya Narayan Prabhu talk about his association with the Prabhupada, his preaching to the Muslim world. I also had one experience when I was many years ago in Turkey. A hall full of Muslims, about this many Muslims had come. And we did kirtan, and it was unbelievable. Their hearts were melting more than ISKCON devotees. It was amazing. They were going, oh, they were like, oh. They were in awe. It was just amazing. They were singing the kirtan. We had a video of it. It was so amazing. So I really know when you talk about Muslim preaching, I know what you mean. I've tasted it myself. It's amazing. Really amazing. Many times we hear talks about one devotee's association with the Prabhupada physically. Of course, we know there are two types of association. There's Vanis and Vapu. Vani is the vibrational presence of the spiritual master. Vapu is the physical presence of the spiritual master. Some of us didn't get much Vapu association. Some got a lot of it. But Vani is available for everyone. I remember I was such a fool in the beginning. I was a hippie out in Berkeley, California. Hippie singer, guitar player type character. And one of our devotees, his name now is Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj. His name was Makhanlal Das Brahmachari. This was 1969 in Berkeley. He said, "My Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master is coming to Berkeley tonight. Please come." So I was staying about two blocks away from where the program was being held, if you can imagine. But I didn't go. I didn't want the Swami to pop my little I am God bubble. Shh, what an idiot. Had that great opportunity to see Prabhupada for the first time. And then a year later, again I was back in Berkeley. At this time the devotees had actually, one Mataji, who was very sympathetic and favorable, she gave the devotees her house. She took the upstairs, she gave the brahmacharis the downstairs. And then we'd have the feast in the backyard. It was a suburban house. So I was there, and the Mataji said, "You know, we have a van, we're going down to Los Angeles, it's going to be a festival, Prabhupada's going to be there, come with us." Did I go? No. One brahmachari has said in the kitchen, he said, "We have to follow the higher authorities." And I went, ooh. Because in those days we had a philosophy, don't trust anybody over 30. It was part of the hippie philosophy. So, you know, I didn't go. So again, I missed that opportunity in 1970. They say three strikes and you're out. I had two strikes now. What's going to happen now? So, I took my songwriting thing and I went back to my singer-songwriter trip. I went back to Austin and was doing my singer-songwriter thing there. A lot of people liked it. But then one day some girl came up and she said, "I hate your music." And I was shocked. Somebody doesn't like my music? Oh my God. So I started becoming more introspective, you know. What is the real purpose of life, you know? I was trying to figure out what am I supposed to do? What is the real meaning of all this life thing called life? And I got into the habit of being a Christian. I started reading the Bible, and I'd get up every morning and I'd study the Bible. And trying to figure out, you know, what really is all this, what's the whole thing? What's going on here? What is the real purpose of all this? And one day I found it. Wow, Jesus says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." Yeah, that's it. You just got to do what God wants. And that's the purpose of existence. Forget what you want. Do what God wants. Well, what does God want me to do? I was waiting for the voice from the sky. No voice. But I was doing my little singer-songwriter thing over at the Vegetarian Co-op one afternoon. And there was only one person in the audience. Pretty depressing for the musician's false ego, you know. Only one person in the audience. And it was a little girl. Oh, my God. So I sang my song, but it was amazing. That little girl was so perceptive. She knew exactly what I was thinking, that I was depressed, that she was the only one in the audience. She came up to me after the song. She said, "Don't worry, God can hear you." And I went, "Wow, that's really amazing. There's something special about that. That's not ordinary." So here I was studying the Bible, trying to figure out what God wants me to do. I was waiting for Him to tell me, and I wasn't getting any message. But now, aha, you can't hear Him, but He can hear you. So now I had a new mantra. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. I would study the New Testament, and every morning I would pray that way. And one day there was a knock on the door. I was staying with one of my music appreciators named Mike Bridges. And his friend Margaret came from down the street. She said, "There's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. He'll be at my apartment in 1 hour. Well, who was it? His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami. Oh! So I had been turned off by the devotees in Berkeley. In fact, I used to even debate with them. I thought, yeah, I defeated that Hare Krishna. Because I knew they had a philosophy, your senses are imperfect. I met Chitsukananda Prabhu on the campus one day, and I said, "You Hare Krishna say your senses are imperfect, so how do you know that Krishna is God?" And he went, I defeated that Hare Krishna. So I was, I had this whole thing that I thought I knew better, that they were kind of, fanatical, boot camp, military type organization, not really. I liked the chanting, and they used to let me lead the chanting up and down Telegraph Avenue. They engaged me in chanting. I led this kirtan party. I liked the chant. I didn't like the idea of being a brahmachari and a disciple and all that. But now I met Vishnu Janaswami. And he was totally different. It wasn't like boot camp, like a drill sergeant. Now it was like, just give your love to Krishna, like that. It was amazing. So amazing personality. He was charismatic. I compare his coming to Austin like the Pied Piper coming in, attracting all the hippies. He became the sensation of the whole hippie community in Austin back in 1971. So he had a nice program. He didn't have a temple. He would just stay at different houses, and he would go to the campus every day with a bowl of Simply. He's a big bowl of Simply Wonderfuls. Sometimes somebody would eat 20 Simply Wonderfuls, and they would surrender. 20 Simply Wonderfuls, and they would surrender. So he was well armed with Simply Wonderfuls. He had a special recipe that he put banana, a little banana in it also. Very special recipe for Simply Wonderfuls. So he would say, "Invite me to your home, and I will turn it into a temple." So every night he'd go to a different house. So you go to the campus, where will the Swami be tonight? You see? And so one night he was at Robin Ferris's apartment. So I went there. And there was a kirtan going on, and I got thirsty. In those days, we didn't have bottled water. You go drink out of the tap. So I went to the kitchen to get a drink of water. And who would show up in the kitchen also? He also came, Vishnujana Swami, just me and Vishnujana all alone in the kitchen. And he said to me these words. He said, "You have to become sober." And I went, wow. That's pretty mind-blowing, because the philosophy of the hippies was always be intoxicated. Sober is bad. You got to always be high, intoxicated. And now somebody who was, I've never met anybody so high, and he said, "You have to be sober." And I went, wow. Let me try this Hare Krishna thing, I was thinking to try it out. So there was a big festival up in Dallas, a Lord Chaitanya festival. They took a huge diorama of Lord Chaitanya, about as high as this ceiling, paper mache diorama, carrying him down the street. The police blocked off the street, and they had a parade down the street, and chanting, and they went to Lee Park, where they had huge, they bought brand new trash cans and filled them up with prasadam. Huge, like thousands of hippies were there. It was an amazing festival. They had me play the kazi because I had a long hair and a beard. They took a half-broken drum and I smashed the drum. And so I was thinking, yeah, this is... In those days, we didn't have beads from India. You'd have to go to Tandy Leather Company and string your own. That was the system back in 71. No Japa Mala from India. So... me and a few others, we went over. We got up that morning before the festival in the park. We went over to Tandy Leather. As soon as it opened, we got our beads and went back and strung in my chant in my first 16 rounds. And then I said, Swami, I think I'd like to surrender. Instead of saying Jai, he tested me. He said, what I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. He challenged me. Very interesting. How Vishnujana Swami preached to me. He challenged me. Are you really serious? Or you just talk? Talk is cheap. Are you really serious? Let's see. He challenged me. You see. So we got back to Austin. And I actually shaved up. So Mahanananda, the president of Dallas, he was on the phone with Vishnujana Swami. And Vishnujana Swami said, guess what? The Kazi shaved up. So, I was thinking, because I was a singer-songwriter, you know, I was thinking, well, George Harrison just come out with My Sweet Lord, it was a big hit. I'll just be a Hare Krishna singer-songwriter, do my own thing. I'm not going to be a brahmachari, but, you know, be a singer-songwriter. And I brought my guitar in. He had me sing for the Sunday feast some of my songs I've written about Krishna consciousness. And... But the brahmacharis wanted me to, you know, surrender, become a disciple. There was all this pressure going on. And they, you know, I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to keep my independence. But then they pointed out a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. And I couldn't argue against it, but was I going to do it? No way. But then one interesting thing happened. One day we were out on Harinam. And somebody, a DJ from a radio station, comes up to us and hands us an LP called the, what is it called? That Radha Krishna Temple album. And he didn't want to play it on the air. He thought it was too spiritual. He thought, those Hare Krishna guys are probably like this album. So he handed it to us, and boy, we didn't even know about this album. So in those days, there was no cassette. Cassettes hadn't come in yet. There was no MP3. It was 33 and a third. That was the medium. You know, stick the needle on the turntable. So we had that record going. We were playing that record and a few others. And it was so amazing. And I was, one morning, my service was a vacuum, the temple room rug. So one morning, we were playing that. And we got to the second cut. Samsaradava nalalidha loka tranaya karyunya gana ganarvam praptasya kalyana gunarna vasya vande garoshi charanada vindam. I was amazed. I could experience, I could feel, I could taste a little sample of what those devotees were feeling for Srila Prabhupada. This was pure love. We had so-called love in the material world. I love my dog, I love my family, I love my country, I love this girl. We had this so-called love. But now I'm experiencing, by hearing in the voices of these devotees, the love the London devotees were feeling for Srila Prabhupada. And it was so amazing. It was so powerful. It was so overwhelming. I was just completely transformed by feeling, getting a kind of tuning into that feeling, tapping my own heart into that feeling that they had for Prabhupada. The tears just came streaming down my face. And I thought these exact words, I still remember the exact words that went through my brain. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? So that's when I truly met Prabhupada. I hadn't even seen him yet, you see. But actually, Prabhupada entered my heart at that moment. He's been there ever since. And I hadn't even seen him yet. This is the power of Vani association. By associating with advanced devotees, even without the presence of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada can enter your heart. So they said, okay, I'd like to get initiated. So anyway, there was a big festival out in San Francisco, the Ratha Yatra, the San Francisco Ratha Yatra, big festival. Devotees came from everywhere. Prabhupada was coming in. It was a huge event. So we were there. And now I get to see Prabhupada for the first time. There was about 300 devotees. In those days, there was no security. You could go right into the jet bridge. So all the passengers are coming off into a kirtan of 300 devotees. The passengers were amazed. But of course, they were in San Francisco, kind of the hippie place. They expected something far out in San Francisco anyway, but this is really far out. All these people in robes jumping and singing and dancing. And we were waiting, where is Prabhupada? Where is Prabhupada? But finally, practically the last one off, I was amazed. He was so short, but he was so big. He was the biggest person in the whole universe, Jagat Guru, but he was physically very short. I was amazed to see. He was so big, but he was so short. So, of course, we all get down and offer our dandavats immediately. And then they had a very interesting idea. We will make a trail of yogurt for Prabhupada to walk in. So they put a trail of yogurt, put yogurt on the floor all through the airport terminal. Prabhupada's walking in a trail of yogurt all the way through the airport. I wonder what they thought about that afterward. I never found out. But anyway, we got out to, you know, you get out to where the cars pull up, so that, you know, a car would be there and take Prabhupada to the Ratha Yatra side. And guess what? There was no car. And Prabhupada was so patient. He just stood there. There's many photographs of this. Prabhupada's standing there. He's just standing there like, you know. And all these, we're all, you know, standing around. Everybody's meditating on Prabhupada. And he's just standing there very patiently like a gentleman. Not a word of complaint. Just patiently waiting for his car. And we all just waited, I don't know how many minutes. But we devotees from Texas were the most stupid devotees in the whole movement. I'll tell you why. We had a car. And we didn't offer Prabhupada a ride. Can you imagine how stupid we were? It wasn't my car. I was just a passenger, but our devotees who had the car, they didn't think, why don't we offer Prabhupada a ride? Because there's no car. We could have taken Prabhupada in our car. But anyway, we didn't do that, and we missed that chance. I can also point out, just backing up a little bit, that morning they had asked for volunteers to get the Ratha Yatra carts ready for the festival. So I volunteered. I went to help Jayananda get the carts ready. So we were there getting the carts ready, and then somebody said, they pulled up in a van, and they said, Prabhupada's coming to the airport. If anybody wants to come, get in the van right now. So I was really torn. I was supposed to be helping Jayananda, but I'd never seen Prabhupada ever before. What to do? The service or seeing Prabhupada? It was a real dilemma. So I just went up to Jayananda and I said, Prabhu, I've never seen Prabhupada before. Can I go to the airport? He looked around to make sure he had enough help. He said, yes. So Jayananda, with Jayananda's blessings, I got my first darshan of Prabhupada. Very auspicious. That great Jayananda Prabhu. With his blessings, I got my first darshan of Prabhupada. So anyway, Prabhupada shows up at the festival. And there's three carts, you know. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. So Prabhupada gets on Subhadra Devi's cart. Third card. There's about maybe 1,000 devotees. It seemed like about 30,000 hippies. All the hippies showed out. The whole hippie community came. It was big in those days, the hippie community in San Francisco. That was the mecca for the hippies in those days. All the hippies came out with their beads and their, you know, all their flowery clothes. It was a big, it was quite a scene. And Prabhupada gave an amazing lecture. The very first word I heard from Prabhupada's lotus mouth was Jagannath. He said, Jagannathashami Nayana Bhavagami Havatume. Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. He told us how Krishna is the light of the sun and the moon. So he said, you're all seeing God, because Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. And he said, Krishna also is the taste of the water. So he said, you're drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. So every time you drink water, if you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately become Krishna conscious. So he made it so easy. All you have to do, it's very simple to become Krishna conscious. Krishna is the taste of the water. Very nice taste. It's not difficult, you see. So in this way, he said, now let us proceed with Jagannath Swami. And we had a wonderful festival, you see. Wonderful festival. And then, now that evening, they had the temple president's meeting over in Berkeley. Now, there's a little politics that had gone on in ISKCON. The four sannyasis had been given sannyas in Los Angeles, but they had been influenced by this idea. It was kind of a long story, but they were preaching some bogus philosophy, just to make it simple. So they had actually been banned. Vishnujat Swami was one of them. They'd been banned from going to any ISKCON temples. They had an austerity. Each of them had to go out and open 10 temples each as penance for their preaching bogus philosophy. So Vishnujat Swami had taken a chance. He had gone to the festival. He'd only opened two. He hadn't opened 10. So Prabhupada's in this, I heard the tape of the meeting, and Prabhupada, he said, so Vishnujat Maharaj, how many temples? And he was like crawling out, the way he said it, he was like crawling out, sticking his head out from under the carpet. He said, two. Prabhupada said, then you have to open another 8. So Prabhupada, of course, he welcomed them back, but he sometimes devotees would deviate, and Prabhupada was so expert at straightening them out, you see. He's very, very expert at straightening them out. So anyway, when we went down to L.A., and it was a whole series of, for a whole week, we're in Los Angeles with Prabhupada. It was so wonderful. Prabhupada corrected some brahmachari. Let's see, what was he doing? Oh yeah, he was staring at a picture, like Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Prabhupada didn't, staring at a photograph. You know, he was more looking than he was hearing. You see, he got corrected for that. So there was many initiations also. And guess what? I'd only been chanting for 4 months. So I was left out. And then somebody said, Prabhupada can leave his body at any time. And I was scared I would miss the chance. Actually, I went up all alone to the Brahmachari Ashram and was crying tears that I couldn't get initiated. I was really, really... Most of the boys from Austin, they had started before me. So I was left out. But then, we went back to Austin actually, it's only 1 month later, now that I think about it. 1 month later in August. Now Prabhupada is in the UK, so how can I get initiated? Prabhupada's not even in the US anymore. But Prabhupada also initiated by letter. So one day a wonderful letter came from London, accepting myself and Palashtra Das and Parashara Das as disciples. It's very, very wonderful. So normally you would, you know, you give your dakshina to the spiritual master, after the yajna, but Prabhupada's in the UK, so you mail your dakshina in. So I mailed in my dakshina. I collected 3 checks. I mailed them over to London, and Prabhupada very nicely answered me. He actually stated the exact amount of the checks. He's a pukka businessman. I received 3 checks of this amount. And then he gave me a wonderful instruction, because I was with Vishnujat Swami, and I must have expressed my enthusiasm for spreading Krishna consciousness, being with him. He was really in the mood of spreading the movement. So I was very like that mood. I expressed to Prabhupada my desire to spread the movement. And Prabhupada gave me the most wonderful blessing that has sat with me for these decades. Here's what he told me. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. Now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Wow. Now, I'd be honest, I've seen a lot of ups and downs in ISKCON over the last few decades. Some wonderful ups, a lot of crazy downs also. We've seen the ups and downs. But Prabhupada's order was always there. No matter what, you always keep your enthusiasm. No matter, come hell or high water, you always keep that enthusiasm. In that way, you always get the blessings. And it's really worked. And it still works. Sometimes people ask me, well, how to be always enthusiastic? So I tell them what Prabhupada told me. You just do it. And you just, no matter what happens, I'm always going to be enthusiastic about awakening my Krishna consciousness, and I'm always going to be enthusiastic about giving Krishna consciousness to the suffering people of this world. You see, if you maintain that enthusiasm, magic happens. Krishna showers his mercy upon you. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So then I had one very interesting moment with Prabhupada there in Los Angeles. I'll tell about that. Because he would come back from the morning walk. They would drive him down to the beach or to a park, and he'd come back to the temple in the car. He'd pull up in a car in front of the temple. Now, in the L.A. temple, Prabhupada's quarters is on. It's towards the back of the building. You go down the left. You go down the side of the building to his quarters, the door that enters. Goes into the hallway that goes up to his quarters. So he would get out of the car, he'd walk up the sidewalk and then go around here to the back of the building to enter his quarters. So there was a wonderful system in those days. It was so sweet. Prabhupada would have a basket of, they would hand Prabhupada a basket of flowers, and each devotee would have a flower. And Prabhupada would go down the line, and each devotee has their own personal moment between them and Prabhupada. For 1 second, it's just you and Prabhupada. You give him a flower, and he gives you a flower. Every single devotee got to have that wonderful exchange with Prabhupada. It was so sweet. You can't imagine. So I stationed myself right by Vishnujan Swami. He was at the front of the queue. And he got more than a flower. He got a hug. Wow. But I felt so good because I was so devoted to Vishnujan Swami. When he got that hug, I felt like I was being hugged too. I felt so happy that he was getting hugged like that by Prabhupada. And so now I get my flower. I have my magic moment with Prabhupada. I hand my flower. He gives me a flower. Now I have a flower that Prabhupada gave me. I have a flower that Prabhupada gave me in my hand. What are you going to do with it? Well, if you're a householder, you take it home, you get a glass jar, you frame it, and you put it in a special place in your house for your whole life. But if you're a brahmachari, what do? You know, how are you going to keep that flower? Well, I said, well, I'll just eat it. That way it'll merge into my body. So I ate the flower. So anyway, Prabhupada's going down the line. And if you know the L.A. temple, there's some steps that go up into the building there. So I just to have a darshan of Prabhupada as he came by, you see, seeing Prabhupada is a very mystical experience if you're in the mood of bhakti as a disciple, you see. It's a very mystical experience to see him. I describe it like this, drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. So I just, for another darshan, I stationed myself on the steps there as Prabhupada's coming down the queue of devotees. And then Prabhupada was so considerate. He was so compassionate. He said, well, here's one who's not in the queue. He saw me on the steps. And through body language, he went like this. Like, did you get a flower yet? He wanted to make sure I got in the flower. Actually, I hadn't eaten my flower yet, brother. I hadn't eaten it yet. So I held up my flower and I showed, yes, Prabhupada, I have a flower. Nodded my head. I can't imagine how much I've been smiling when Prabhupada noticed me and then make sure I got a flower. But that was Prabhupada's compassion. I was not any kind of, I was just some wild character from Texas, really. But Prabhupada was so compassionate that for every single person who was coming around, he wanted to give the mercy. He wanted to make sure that everybody was getting the mercy. Prabhupada didn't want to leave anybody out. That's the amazing quality of Srila Prabhupada. He actually wants to deliver every single person in this whole universe. That's why he's called Jagat Guru. That's his compassion. He has compassion on even the worms and stool. Prabhupada wants to deliver them also. So it's an amazing compassion, and I got a little taste of that. So anyway, that was a wonderful experience. And then, of course, I got initiated by Prabhupada, and I wasn't in temples where Prabhupada was visiting, so rarely I saw him. But then a few years went by. Of course, oh, here's another interesting thing. Yeah. When I first joined, anybody in the movement could write Prabhupada a letter. That was considered cool. Everyone is encouraged. In fact, I would ask Vishnu John Swami a question. He didn't know the answer. He said, well, write Prabhupada. So that was the instruction in the beginning. Write Prabhupada. If you need to have any questions, you would write him. But then a new policy came in. Prabhupada said, there was a big volume of letters, so he was saying that from now on, just the GBCs, sannyasis, temple presidents, they write me, and everybody else should ask their temple president, the GBC, and the sannyasi, their questions. But I had already written Prabhupada a letter before, a couple, two or three, and gotten the answers, and I was honestly very addicted to having that connection. And I was completely bewildered by this new policy. I just couldn't handle it psychologically. I wanted to have that connection with Prabhupada directly, and I couldn't accommodate it. I honestly couldn't handle it, the policy. So I wrote Prabhupada anyway. And I didn't put my name on the return address, so hoping he would get through the security. And Prabhupada was so kind. He wrote me back. He told me about the policy. But then he gave me a concession. He said, but if there's something urgent matter, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. Wow, Prabhupada gave me a loophole, a concession. I could still write him if I had an urgent need. He personally authorized me to do it in spite of the policy. So I did that for a couple more years probably. I learned to inquire from my GBCs, my temple presidents, sannyasis. I learned how to do that, and I got some wonderful answers sometimes. Some most brilliant answers I would get sometimes. I remember I went to, there was a festival up in New Vrindavan. At that time, one of the big sannyasis in our movement was Kirtanananda Maharaj. He got into some difficulty later on, but when he was in his prime, he was really powerful. Whenever I asked him one question in the lecture, I said, let's see, yes. Because I was coming from the hippie movement. We were very lazy people, you know. That was our nature, lazy. So I said, how to overcome laziness? And he gave me he was very good at sutra-like answers. He said, by love. And I went, wow. That's it. I was afraid he was going to say, by hard work. But I didn't want to hear that, but I was willing to hear it because I knew I needed to learn how to work hard, but I didn't have a nature to want to work hard. Then he said, by love. It was so perfect an answer. So this I could see how Prabhupada actually was speaking through these senior devotees, you see. Very profound answer. Prabhupada inspired him to say that. So I could see how Prabhupada was present, not only when I wrote him a letter, but also through the senior devotees. And that was so profound. That answer has gone with me. Like, it's a great treasure by love. So this Krishna consciousness movement is a very, very special thing. Very, very powerful thing. Srila Prabhupada, as my godbrother Sachin Rani pointed out, he's present here. He's still with us. If we can just learn how to connect with him by always remembering him, always trying to please him with our every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances, we can actually feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada with us. If we take his instructions, embrace him as our very life and soul. He gave us a very, very big order. He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. So when we look out at that world civilization out there, which is getting crazier and crazier every day, we have to think. We have an order from Prabhupada to save the world. Now, we may not be successful in doing that, but at least by our endeavor to do that, we will be fixed in Krishna consciousness, and our salvation will be guaranteed. And Prabhupada pointed out one time, he said, even if we can make 1% of the world Krishna conscious, there'll be peace. And then he said, even less than 1%. So I did some math on that. 50 million is all we really need. If we can get 50 million people totally sold out to serving Prabhupada, world history will change. So Prabhupada's association is not dead and gone. Prabhupada is still here. He's still with us. He's still blessing us. Just as he was always feeling the presence of his Guru Maharaj, we can also feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada by reading his books, distributing his books, trying to follow his books, praying that we can, that our every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances can be completely pleasing to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, to Lord Krishna. In this way, revolutionize your heart and revolutionize the world. This is our meditation, like we sing every day. Bhagirnasingha Hridaye Nasingha. Prabhupada expands on the meaning of these four simple words in his purport in the fifth canto. May Lord Nisringadev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities, so that I can peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. So this is our mission. Revolution within, revolution without. And Prabhupada is blessing us. The more we can adopt that mood of revolutionizing our hearts and revolutionizing the world, the more we will feel connected with our spiritual masters, with Srila Prabhupada, and the whole disciplic succession. So there's no reason for any of us to ever be in anxiety. Anxiety is the pastime of fools and rascals, you see. What I've realized recently, I went through a very bad bout of sciatica. It was horrible pain. I couldn't even get out of the bed. I couldn't even move. Even laying there, I was in great pain from a pinched nerve. But from Prabhupada's teachings, a wonderful realization came. Queen Kunti was praying, more difficulties, more difficulties, more difficulties. Because by seeing more difficulties, therefore I will be seeing you. And when I see you, I will no longer see birth and death. So that wonderful instruction from Prabhupada actually saved me from my horrible anxiety I was starting to go into. I said, Krishna, please give me more difficulties. Please give me more difficulties, more difficult. And as soon as I did that, there was no more difficulties. So Prabhupada has so wonderfully taught us how to have lives completely free from anxiety. You see? Completely free from anxiety. Prabhupada's Vaikuntha man. Yes. Completely free from anxiety. If we embrace these teachings given to us by Srila Prabhupada, we will also be completely free from anxiety. Even the so-called anxieties will simply be impetus for increasing transcendental bliss. That's the thing. We all have to face so many difficulties. Old age, disease, death. We will all deal with these things. And now I have this 70-year-old body, I'm seeing it's not the same. I can't walk like I used to. The sense of balance is going away. There's so many things deteriorate with old age. But it's okay. It's cool because it's all Krishna's special mercy to help the devotee become more and more fixed in Krishna consciousness. If we learn to see everything as a special blessing from Krishna, then we'll never be disturbed, we'll never be in anxiety, we'll never become bewildered or depressed. If we learn to see everything as Prabhupada has revealed to us in these wonderful books, then our lives will be ever-increasing nectar. Each day will become sweeter than the previous day. Sweeter, 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 sweeter. Sweet, sweet, what a treat. Can't be beat, those two lotus feet. Our Guru Kripa has written. Remember that poem? Yeah, no, that was a big hit in the Vyasa Purana. Sweet, sweet, what a treat. Can't be beat, those two lotus feet. You see. So if we can connect with Prabhupada by remembering his pastimes, by remembering his teachings, by doing everything we can to please him, to please his representatives, our spiritual masters, if we can focus our lives in this way, then anxiety will never touch us. We'll become Vaikuntha men and women, you see. We can actually live in that spiritual atmosphere every minute, completely untouched by the modes of nature. Oh, here's one instruction that Prabhupada gave me, very powerful, a direct order that gives me great strength, actually. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Wow. It's like that verse, you know, Premanjana Chirita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaivrahidayeshi Valokayanti Yangshama Shundarama Chintyaganas Varupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who was Shama Sundar, Krishna himself with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So many times my godbrothers, well, they say, well, Sankarshan, how are you doing? I say, well, I'm not there yet. I'm still covered because Prabhupada ordered me to become qualified to see Krishna face to face, and I'm not there yet, you see. I'm still seeing the material energy out there. I'm not seeing Krishna yet. So I'm not completely well yet. I'm still sick, you see. I'm still sick, you see. So that's a very powerful instruction that Prabhupada gave me. It gives me, I have to somehow become qualified that I can directly see Krishna. You see, that's his order. One has to take the order of the spiritual masters, his very life and soul. Somehow or other, I have to become qualified to see Krishna. That means no more lust, no more anger, no more greed, no more madness. No more illusion, no more envy, no laziness, no craziness, simply absolute, total, pure bhakti with every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. I'm praying to Krishna, I'm praying to Prabhupada, please, 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 let me come to that level. I've been ordered to do that. Please bless me, I can come to that level. Please, 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 let me come to that level, you see. So, Prabhupada has unlimitedly blessed. He's unlimitedly blessed. Those letters I got from Prabhupada are the greatest treasures. Maybe about 10 or 12 of them. The greatest treasures. Greatest treasures, greatest blessings Prabhupada gave me. The very last letter I got, actually, if I remember now, I'd written to Prabhupada giving a whole idea of how I could become a whole preaching program. I outlined a whole preaching program for Prabhupada, a detailed preaching program I'd like to do. And Prabhupada wrote me back the most wonderful letter. He was very pleased with my ideas and he said, I would like to meet with you when I return to the U.S. My authorities didn't like it. They said, no more letters, you eccentric nut. But it didn't matter because Prabhupada was pleased. Prabhupada said he wanted to meet with me. I had these ideas for preaching and he wanted to meet with me to discuss them. It never happened, but the fact that Prabhupada was pleased with me and he wanted to discuss with him, I didn't get the chance. The fact that he was pleased with me, expressed his pleasure with me, that made all the difference in the world. Even my godbrothers didn't appreciate it. That happens sometimes. There's a difference between the godbrothers and the spiritual master. Sometimes there's a difference, you see. But the real thing is, what is the spiritual master's mood? What is his feeling, you see? What does he say? What is his mood? So that has given me great strength, that Prabhupada was so much encouraging to me. Even though sometimes the godbrothers didn't like my ideas, you see. Prabhupada expresses his pleasure with me. So that's always given me great encouragement. But now seeing so many wonderful godbrothers, I'm learning now how to appreciate each and every one of them. How they're all sincerely trying to serve Prabhupada according to their inspiration, their realizations. I was so inspired to hear Satyanarayan Prabhu's presentation. how he's distributing these books to the Muslim world, and so intelligently organizing this thing to get many, many people doing this. This is very wonderful service that he's doing. Very, very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, as he pointed out. So let us take advantage of all these wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada who have so many, each one of them is a great treasure house of remembrances of Prabhupada and how we can serve Prabhupada. These Prabhupada disciples, in a few more years, will all be gone. Will all be gone. There'll be a few years more down the road, the last Prabhupada disciple on this planet will leave his body. Can you imagine? The day will come, there'll be no more Prabhupada disciples physically present. So understand, every Prabhupada disciple is a great treasure. Take advantage of their association, because in a few more years, there won't be any more Prabhupada disciples left on this planet. So in this way, take advantage of the teachings of Prabhupada, take advantage of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and make your life completely successful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!